Lecture topic, marriage or career, which one first?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil'alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا داود منا فضلا يا جبال أوبي معه والطير وألنا له الحديد أن اعمل سابغات وقدر في السرد واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون بصير وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم تزوج النساء يأتينكم بالأموال أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and listeners, it is wallah no secret that the dominant aspiration in the life of every young man is to ultimately find a suitable spouse and to secure a healthy income. There's no secret to this. Everyone knows it. The dilemma, however, is which one first? Do I get married and then make money? Or do I study, graduate, do my internship, make my money, hopefully I attract a better fish? But then the question is, can I resist the temptation of a woman for such a prolonged period of time? I'm afraid the answer is no. The chances are strong, without generalizing, the chances are strong that I'm going to pursue an illicit relation during my stay at campus or at a tertiary institution, which will inevitably lend itself into a host of evils. A. I will be miserable because Allah's qasam, everyone in sin is miserable. There's no exception to it. B, to sustain the relation, I will have to fork out money. Because that's the only way I'll keep the rhythm going and the bond intact. C, in the interim, I won't propose elsewhere, and my fiancé will decline other proposals, because supposedly we're getting married. And at some point or the other, more often when it's a prolonged relation, and statistics prove this fact, either of the prospective spouse will abruptly terminate the relation without explanation, leaving the other one depressed, if not suicidal. There is yet a third opinion to counter the dilemma. So scenario number one, I got married and then I start making money. Scenario number two, I make my money and then I settle down. The third one is the intelligent thinker. I get married and my wife and I both work, so we make money together. And this sounds very appealing. But least realizing, in doing so, if we get married and we both work to supplement the income, to complement the income, the chances are she returns from work equally tired and exhausted as I am. So there's very little she can do to comfort me after a long day, which is one of the fundamental objectives of marriage, as the Quran emphatically says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that when you return home, you need to de-stress. And this de-stressing will happen when you have a wife with a conducive environment. So when she returns tired on the reverse, she might expect me to pamper her with a cup of tea in bed. And this, wallah, is the inception of arguments, altercations, and verbal skirmishes in the relation. Now, what is the way forward? It's not for me to decide. We got to go back to our sources. You know, they say, marriage or love is blind. Love is blind. But marriage is an eye-opener. Love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. The way forward is the hadith that I have quoted before you. My mother Aisha radiallahu anha narrates it. Bazaar records it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, تَزَوَّجُ النِّسَى. When you need to prioritize, A, get married. So half the dilemma is over. Now comes the second aspect, where does the money come from? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ بِالْأَمْوَالِ. Don't worry about the money, she'll bring the money and come. Now you might think I read the wrong translation, or I didn't grasp the implication. They say before marriage a man yearns for the woman he loves. After marriage the wife becomes silent. He only earns. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ بِالْأَمْوَالِ. She'll bring the money. Now what was meant and what defines wealth? Again, the scholars of hadith, jazahullahu anna khair al-jaza, they explore and unpack the hadith for us. They say, هَذَا إِذَا كَانَ الزَّوْجَانِ فَهِيمَيْنِ وَنَاصِحَيْنِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا فَيَسْعَ الزَّوْجُ فِي زِيَادَةِ الْكَسْبِ وَتَشْتَغِلُ الزَّوْجَةُ فِي انْتِظَامِ الْبَيْتِ مِمَّا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ الزَّوْجُ فَيَلْزَمُ الْإِتْمِنَانُ وَالرَّاحَةُ فَهَذَا مَقْصُودُ الْمَالِ فَهَذَا مَعْنَى الْإِتْيَانِ بِالْمَالِ. They say that this wealth that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to is when husband and wife have the common sentiments of benefiting one another. Then they explain what is meant by this. They explain what is meant by wealth. What is meant by wealth? The husband exerts himself to maximize the income, while the wife dedicates herself diligently to the domestic chores. فَيَلْزَمُ الْإِتْمِنَانُ وَالرَّاحَةُ. And this combination where the husband exerts himself and the wife devotes herself, it translates into happiness, into bliss, into prosperity, which is the underlying objective of wealth. I mean, why do I want money to be happy? فَهَذَا مَعْنَى الْإِتْيَانِ بِالْمَالِ. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant, that we delegate, he earns, and she does her domestic chores. I mean, Allah has created everyone differently. So they say this woman was busy in the kitchen frying the egg. So the husband comes and he says, make it sunny but runny. Make it sunny but runny. Okay, no problem, I'll do so. You need to add a bit of oil. Okay, I'll do so. After a little while, I think the heat is too high, you need to drop the heat. So she's like, back off, I know how to fry eggs. So he says, no, I just want you to know how it feels when I drive. I just want you to know how it feels when I drive. Anyway, to further the theory, to elucidate the point, I thought we make reference to one of the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this time none other than Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu. And the reason why I specifically chose his life, because these very two aspirations which are dominant, A, to get married, B, to make money, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf took it to its maximum. So he had four wives. So when you want to get married, look at a man who, you know what I mean, fits the profile perfectly well. You're looking at a man who had four wives, and I'm not in any way advocating, you know, go ahead and multiple spouses, but just to expound on his life. And the second aspect, we talk of the 100 richest people in the world or the 10 wealthiest people in Africa. Obviously, in the times of Sahaba, there wasn't those gradients. But when you look at the economic muscle that he had, and you look at his financial stability, then it would not be an overstatement to say he was possibly one of the 10 wealthiest people of Arabia in the time in which he lived. So either if you're glancing at him from an economical perspective, or you're looking at him from a social life, a happy man with a prosperous family and good children, on either front, he perfectly reflects the example. Just to run you through a few of the merits that Allah had given him, أحد الثمانية السابقين إلى الإسلام, one of the first 8 people to accept Islam, أحد العشرة المبشرين بالجنة, one of the 10 individuals whom the Prophet ﷺ gave the glad tidings of paradise at one go, أحد الستة أصحاب الشورى يوم اختيار الخليفة بعد الفاروق, when Umar radiallahu anhu was in the throes of death, the 6 that he nominated, amongst those 6 was Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and furthermore, when he sustained the injury and he was stabbed with the dagger, and at that time the Fajr Salah was abruptly terminated, he said, tell Abdurrahman ibn Auf to lead the congregation. وَأَحَدُ النَّفَرِ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُفْتُونَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَيٌّ. And amongst those fortunate individuals who enjoyed the privilege of issuing Islamic verdicts, even in the very golden era of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his pre-Islamic name was عبد عمر. كان اسمه في الجاهلية عبد عمر. فلما أسلم دعاه الرسول الكريم عبد الرحمن. When he embraced Islam, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم changed his name to عبد الرحمن, and obviously the son of Auf, so عبد الرحمن ابن عوف رضي الله عنه. Briefly, I need to bring to the point of his marriage and obviously the money, because that's the theory and the point we want to drive home. He accepted Islam in the initial stages, hence he had to contend with the hostility of the polytheists. لقي من العذاب في سبيل الله ما لقيه المسلمون الأولون فصبر وصبروا وثبت وثبتوا وصدق وصدقوا. As they persevered, so did he persevere. He was then compelled to forsake his native land and go to Abyssinia to take amnesty, and he joined the delegation to Abyssinia. When he returned from Abyssinia, and subsequent to that, the migration of Medina had commenced. So, كان في طليعة المهاجرين الذين هاجروا لله ورسوله. He also joined the group and migrated to Medina. Now we bring you into the age where now he needs to settle down, look for a good partner, and obviously move on with life. You know, they say the dream of every man. He wished he was as handsome as his mother thinks. He had as much money as his child believes. My father got a lot of money. And he had as many women as his wife suspects. The dream of every man. They say he wished he was as handsome as his mother thinks. Number 2, he had as much money as his child believes. My son, that money I got to pay. No, must see my abu. You got a lot of money. And number 3, he wished he had as many women as his wife suspects. When Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu came to Medina Munawwara, أَخَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, the Prophet ﷺ established a brotherhood. He established a network that linked and paired a muhajir with an ansari, which was of a level that was unprecedented in the annals of Islamic, nay, human history. You know, the famous Arabic proverb goes, رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكْ. رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكْ. There are many people in life who benefit you as much as your brother. It's just that your mother didn't give birth to him. So he is as good as a brother to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paired the Sahaba, and read the pairing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we got online and we start chatting and we get attracted to one another. Look at this amazing bond that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just to run you through a few names, he linked and paired Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with Kharija bin Zuhair radiallahu anhu. He paired Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu with Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He paired Abdurrahman ibn Auf with Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn Khattab with Utban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan with Aws ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Talha ibn Ubaidullah with Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu with Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Bilal ibn Abi Rabah radiallahu anhu with Abu Ruwayha radiallahu anhu. And go on, it's amazing just to see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paired the two. So our topic of discussion, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was paired with Sa'd ibn Rabi'. And every Sahabi had this passion that, you know what, the man must come to my house. فَمَا نَزَلَ مُهَاجِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنصَارِيٍ إِلَّا بِالْقُرْعَةِ. They would draw lots and argue to say, I want him and he must come to my house. When Abdurrahman ibn Auf was paired with Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu, Sa'd radiallahu anhu welcomes him home and he says, أي أخيّة, أنا أكثر أهل المدينة مالا، وعندي بستانان ولي امرأتان، فانظر أي بستاني أحب إليك وأي امرأتي أرضى عندك حتى أطلقها لك. Listen, my brother, I know you're young, you're in your prime, you need to make your mark in life, you are enthusiastic, you are visionary, you have certain things to do. Let me put a proposal before you. My proposal is as follows. A, I've got two prosperous orchards in addition to many of my other properties. So if you're ready, one is yours. I have two spouses, I divorce one. And obviously after she goes through the period of iddah, you can wed her and get married to her. Now this is a very critical thing. While we salute the contribution and the zeal of donation and the generous attitude of Sa'd ibn Rabi, we equally marvel at Abdul Rahman ibn Auf's abstinence. We equally compliment his abstinence and his istighna. So he didn't make money, he wasn't born in the lap of luxury, everything wasn't thrown on his table. He said, Barakallahu laka fi ahlik wa malik walakin dullani ala suq. Barakallahu laka fi ahlik wa malik walakin dullani ala suq. I appreciate your sentiments. May Allah reward you well. I have hands and I have legs. I'm going to walk the ladder of life myself. Allah is with me and I will start from my humble beginning and I will make my mark inshallah. Show me where's the marketplace. Just that's all. Inshallah, I just need to get there. From there, you leave it to me. I'll move myself on. فَدَلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, there's the marketplace and off you go. فَطَفِقَ يَشْتَرِي وَيَبِيعُ وَيَرْبَحُ وَيَدَّخِرُ. So he started doing his basic things. Now, Islam advocates to us in the strongest possible ways that we work in a very systematic way. And the ayat al-kareemah that I recited, Allah addresses Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam when Allah inspired him with the art of making armor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that أَنِعْمَلْ سَابِغَاتْ وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Make beautiful armor. A. Sabighat, broad armor. وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. This portion of the ayah has been explored on two fronts. The first tafsir Ibn Kathir by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Allah says, measure, قَدَّرَ يُقَدِّرُ تَقْدِيرُ. Measure the links of your armor. When you weave the links of your armor, let there be precision in what you do. So we don't want youth to be haphazard in life. Do something, do a thorough job. The scholars tell us, Allah didn't tell Sayyidina Nuh, وَجْعَلِ الْفُلْكَ. Allah said, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ. And if you know basic Arabic grammar, you will appreciate how encompassing the word wasna is. So sana'a, make an ark, but make a good ark. Do it with precision. The second explanation, Allama Alusi Baghdadi makes mention in Ruhul Ma'ani, waqaddir fi sardi, measure your time, fix your hours. So sometime I will go to work, and sometime I will obviously devote to the cause of Allah. Be it as it may, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu goes to the marketplace. He starts in his humble way, makes his first sale, earns some money, and he starts saving. But how much does he save? وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ حَتَّ اجْتَمَعَ لَدَيْهِ مَهْرُ إِمْرَأَ. I got enough money to give dowry. I'm ready to look. I've got enough money to give dowry. I'm ready to get married. So he goes around and he finally finds a suitable spouse. And he says, look here, I don't own an empire now, but inshallah, we don't know from your way what Allah has ahead of us, but I have my dowry money. I want to give it to you and I want to get married. The nikah is performed without the knowledge and in the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's no ill feelings. So it's not pending the availability of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not been delayed. It's not been unduly delayed that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to know. No, he found the suitable spouse. We need to come out of these rituals and we need to mature these norms of our society. Everything at the function is un-Islamic, but we need particular muftis up to perform the nikah as if his presence will undo the wrath of Allah in the form of the wrong and the intermingling of sexes that we have. The nikah is performed, he commences his life, they have absolutely nothing. Comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized. He says, Mahyam, Mahyam, wa hiya kalimatun yamaniyatun tufidu ta'ajjub. Now, Mahyam in Arabic is a Yemeni dialect which denotes expression and amazement. If I go to translate that in English, wow! And if I translate that in slang, aware. Forgive me, mom. So that's what the youth would do when you see him spoken. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mahyam, Mahyam, Abdurrahman. I said, I want to be, well, I got married, man. Make a dua. Tazawwajtu. Nabi alayhi sallam said, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. Barakallahu laka fi ahlik wa malik, awlim walau bishat. Listen, Abdurrahman, you on the right way, carry on. If you can, arrange a quick walima. That will do you good. If you can, arrange yourself a walima, that's wonderful. But you've made the right move. You've made the intelligent choice of life. You've taken the bold step. He said, the Prophet ﷺ made the dua, I made the move, and this puzzle started fitting in place. رَأَيْتُ الدُّنْيَا أَقْبَلَتْ إِلَيَّ حَتَّى لَوْ رَفَعْتُ حَجَرًا لَتَوَقَّعْتُ أَنْ أَجِدَ تَحْتَهُ ذَهَبًا أَوْ فِضَّةً. Things started now taking shape in my life so rapidly that I became optimistic of benefit and wealth, that if I would pick up a stone also, I would hope that perhaps there's a chunk of gold beneath it and some luck will come my way. Things just started fitting into place. I had nothing, got married, basic. This was my way. I saved up money for dowry. I didn't rely on Sa'd ibn Rabi. I made my own thing and I moved. The Prophet ﷺ supported the cause and promoted the initiative. He said, while we got married and we trying to get ourselves together and know one another. You know, the boy asked his father, Dad, I heard in ancient China, a man never knew a woman until he got married with her and lived with her. Is that true? He says, my son, that's not only in ancient China, that's everywhere all the time. You never know a woman only when you married and you live, that's the time you discover. So we're trying to bond ourselves, and simultaneously there were certain campaigns that were fought. So Badr took place, Uhud took place, and I needed to participate. It's the beginning of my relation, it's the inception of our get together, but these were also important things in which I had to contribute. So he participated in Badr. He participated in Badr and he made a great contribution. He participated in Uhud. ثَبَتَ حِينَ زُلْزِلَةِ الْأَقْدَامِ ثَبَتَ حِينَ زُلْزِلَةِ الْأَقْدَامِ وَخَرَجَ مِنَ الْمَعْرِكَةِ وَبِهِ بِضْعَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ جَرْحًا بَعْضُهَا عَمِيقٌ تَدْخُلُ فِيهِ يَدُ الرَّجُلِ. He sustained more than 20 wounds. And some were so deep that you literally could put your hand in that wound. But scholars say, and historians record, if you do a critical analogy of the life of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, while his physical contribution was phenomenal, but his salient feature was the money he made and how he financially contributed to the cause of Islam. That stands out loud and clear in the life of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And we don't trivialize his physical contribution. But when you match the two, Asbaha, his contribution in money became much greater in relation to his contribution physically. So just to cite few examples, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the Sahaba and he says, Inni uridu an ab'atha ba'than. I need to send a campaign out. Tasaddaqu. Can you people come forward and give money? So, Badr Abdurrahman ibn Auf ila manzilihi wa aada musri'a. He goes home quickly and he returns swiftly. And this is, you know, relatively getting into life. He said, O Prophet of Allah, in the arba'atu alaf dirham. Currently, my entire estate is no more than 4,000 dirhams. This is all what I own. Alfani aqradtuhuma rabbi wa alfani taraktuhuma li'iyali. O Prophet of Allah, two out of the four is with you. And the other two for my wife and the child that we have. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Barakallahu laka fi ma anfaqta, wa barakallahu laka fi ma amsakta. May Allah bless what you've donated And may Allah equally bless the money you left behind at home. Now, I need 2,000 only at home, coupled with the barakat of Nabi Sassim's du'as, then having 20,000 void of his du'as. So this husband comes home happy, he tells his wife, I got my 13 check. And then the next day the fridge packed in. So anyway, the whole check went. One year he waited, the following year he came home, says, I got my bonus, but talk softly, I don't want the freezer to hear. Why? Because then what's going to happen? That's where the money goes. He makes his donation of 2,000 there, and 2,000 he leaves it at home. Comes the occasion of Tabuk. When Tabuk came, what happened? Again, the Prophet ﷺ exhorted the Sahaba to spend. Why? فَجَيْشُ الرُّومِ وَافِرُ الْعَدَدِ كَثِيرُ الْعُدَدِ. They were equipped to the teeth. وَالسَّفَرُ طَوِيلُ. Medina was, it was a year of drought, the journey was long, the provisions were minimal. So the need for men was just as great as the need for money. Anyway, again Abdul Rahman ibn Auf came. Now just follow me and see how Allah rewards him. So he's getting his life with his wife, but equally making his financial contribution in the causes of deen. Not oblivious for a second. تَصَدَّقَ بِمِئَتَيْ أُقِيَّةٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ. He donates 200 ounces of gold. When he comes like this, Umar ibn Khattab even made the remark and he said, لا أرى عبد الرحمن إلا مرتكبا إثما فما ترك لأهله شيئا. O Prophet of Allah, I think Abdul Rahman has overstepped the mark. He has given everything that he possibly owns and I doubt there's anything left at home. So in the first instance, he split it 2 year, two there. But when you see him giving in the bath of Allah what it attracts, why not give more? Allah will give us more. So this time he gives 200 ounces of gold. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا تَرَكْتَ لِأَهْلِكَ يَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. O Abdul Rahman, what have you left behind at home? He said, تَرَكْتُ لَهُمْ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا أَنْفَقْتُ وَأَطْيَبَ. I have left for them more than what I have donated. And what's that, O Abdul Rahman? مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ وَالْخَيْرِ وَالْأَجْرِ. What Allah has promised on every cent in the form of happiness in my marriage, in the form of blessings in my life, in the form of obedient children, in the form of prosperity, those intangible divine commands and promises of Allah, I left that at home and came. I left that at home and came. Now look at how Allah rewarded this young man. وَلَمَّا مَضَى الْجَيْشُ إِلَىٰ تَبُوكُ. When they come to Tabuk, أكرم الله عبد الرحمن بن عوف بما لم يكرم به أحدا من المسلمين. Allah gave him such an amazing privilege that besides Abu Bakr, nobody else possibly shares this privilege. دخل وقت الصلاة. It's the time of salah. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غائب. And the Prophet of Allah has to excuse himself momentarily. So the congregation look at Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and say, possibly it's only you that can stand there. Lead us, we're in battle. The Prophet of Allah is not here. It's the time of salah. Go for it, Abdul Rahman, and lead the congregation. فَأَمَّا الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ ابْنُ عَوْفٍ. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf comes forward and leads the congregation. But here comes the moment of ecstasy. Here comes the overwhelming second. Not the time you pop the pill or you sit with that woman or you have a bottle of wine in your hand. It's an insult to call this an ecstasy with the connotations attached to drugs. But just taqrib ila al-faham, to draw it closer to your understanding. وَمَا كَادَتْ تُتِمُّ الرَّكْعَةَ الْأُولَىٰ حَتَّى لَحِقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْمُصَلِّينَ وَاقْتَدَى بِعَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ عَوْفٍ وَصَلَّى خَلْفَهُ. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf barely completes the first rak'at as the imam, and there is a shuffle, and people move, and the Prophet of Allah joins the congregation, and he performs salah behind Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. هَلْ هُنَالِكَ أَكْرَمُ كَرَامًا وَأَفْضَلُ فَضْلًا. I ask you, my brother, can there possibly be a greater merit? Can there be a greater credential? Can there be a greater acknowledgement? You might say this cannot be applicable to you. Let me simplify it to your scenario. So come Saturday, your friends rock up at your house. And they say, we're going now, we're going to pick up whoever she is. And then it's a coffee and then movies and then clubs. And then you decline, my brother, on principle and in fear of Allah. And you return home with all the derogatory comments that they attribute and they throw towards you. And that night Allah favors you with the vision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they sleep in a club and a pub and they drink and they wine and they womanize. And you see Muhammad alayhi salam with a broad smile. And you get up that Sunday morning, and I don't know if they sleep or get up, Allah knows best and guide one and all. Can you possibly attach any value? Is there anything in the world? What did Umar ibn Khattab say? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, لا تنسانا في دعائك يا أخي. Umar, don't forget me in your du'as. Umar said, that du'a, give me the world and strip me of this privilege, I'm not ready to give it up. Umar said, give me the world and strip me of this privilege that the Prophet hasn't given me this request. I live with this year and I attach myself to this. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Furthermore, just to take it, how Allah gave him wealth. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, amazing as a young man, and this is what we hope that this convention can bring to the fore. We need responsible leaders, youth who have leadership qualities. Look at his vision, maturity and integrity. لَمَّا لَحِقَ الرَّسُولُ بِالرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى جَعَلَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ بْنُ عَوْفٍ يَقُومُ بِمَصَالِحِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He made it a passionate and a dedicated agenda in his life to see to the financial well-being of all the honorable consorts and the noble spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he wasn't delegated the task. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, as a young man who had the financial muscle, and we hope and pray those that have money can come and enrich our societies on those notes. I mean, I marvel at Ali radiallahu anhu, that the body is brought, the corpse is brought before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Hal taraka min daynin?" Has the deceased got any outstanding debts? And someone says, "Yes, O Prophet of Allah, he's got, he's owing money." And this is a serious thing. The other day I went, attended a funeral, I knew the brother, Allah make his maghfirat. So his nephew insisted that I make a dua, I made a dua at the grave, and I said, "Allah," in my dua I expressed some emotions, Allah, he was punctual with his salah and he was good, Allah reward him and everything. After I completed the salah at the grave, I barely took two steps, another gentleman comes and taps me on the shoulder. He says, "Maulana, mashallah, you praise the man, but the guy owes me money." I'm like, "Which guy?" He said, "The guy you buried." Now these are serious realities. مَن مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالْغُلُولِ وَالدَّيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ تِرْمِذِ. Die free of deceit, pride, and debt straight into Jannah. So the body is brought, the Prophet ﷺ said, has he got outstanding debts? Yes. هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَا. Has he left behind money to settle the debts? No. The Prophet ﷺ said, صَلُّوا عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ. Can somebody come forward and lead the salah? I wouldn't want to take the responsibility. Ali says from the rear, food for thought for the wealthy of this ummah. O Prophet of Allah, I don't know the man, neither do I know the debts. But I can't see a man being deprived of your salah. That debt is on me. Allow him and privilege him with your salah, O Prophet of Allah. Whoever it is, claim it from me. The Prophet of Allah said, فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ. Oh Ali, oh Ali, you responded to the moment you saved his neck. Now you have my dua, Allah save you from hell. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is a young man striking a balance. Seen to his family, he said, this is the time. So he started seeing to the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. He started giving them money. I don't have time to go. He showered them financially. Then look at his mind. You know, mashallah, we have some youngsters, they have a real, he's pulling this container every week, 22 foot long trucks coming in. He's got this portfolio, he's traveling abroad. He's really a go-getter. And then you see who's the manager, a 20-year-old lady that's running a massive operation. Abdurrahman ibn Auf had the money, but look at his vision. وَلَقَدْ بَلَغَ مِنْ بِرِّ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنِ عَوْفِ بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنَّهُ بَاعَ أَرْضًا لَهُ بِأَرْبَعِينَ أَلْفْ دِينَارٍ فَقَسَمَهَا كُلَّهَا فِي بَنِي زُهْرَ وَأَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Today I'm afraid when I make money, I forget that I have a parent. I forget that I have a mother who needs not my cent, but in courtesy and in obligation. How nice a gesture if I make it a routine that when my salary comes, whatever it is, I take out a share and first give it to my mother. I openly, because that would be attracting barakah. Abdurrahman ibn Auf sold this land, which took was a prime land. It went for 40,000 dinars. He took that money and he said, let me spend this money on the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ's mother. I mean, where his mind went. If that was his concern for the tribe of the mother of the Prophet ﷺ, I need not explain what he would do for his own mother. And the other half, he devoted it to all the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَمَّا بَعَثَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَائِشَةَ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا بِمَا خَصَّهَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَالِ قَالَتْ مَنْ بَعَثَ هَذَا الْمَالِ. So this parcel comes home of money to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, where does this money come from? So the person at the door says, Abdurrahman ibn Auf has sent it for you. She says, tell him I said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us, la yahnu alaykunna min ba'di illa sabirun. Oh Aisha, I am leaving. Allah will send few pious Allah fearing people in my ummah who will see to your every need. Tell him he is the living dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Congratulations. So Allah provides, but Allah accepted his wealth. Then I want to speak on another very important thing. They say, because of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdurrahman ibn Auf's financial condition never dipped. So whether you have the economic meltdown, which has been termed the worst since the Great Depression, and like it or not, when there's financial strain, it negatively impacts on the relation. I mean, there's a book that just caught my eye, I haven't read it, The Secret Currency of Love. The Secret Currency of Love. So money talks, some say speaks, others say it screams. Money talks, speaks or screams, whatever it is, but we know that has. It definitely creates strain on the relation. They say Abdurrahman ibn Auf never suffered a dip economically. Why? Because he was moving directly with the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which had nothing to do with the economical system. So I got my generators, I don't even know lights are gone. I don't have, I'm saying if a person has. You know, there's a hadith in Muslim Sharif. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says this man was walking in the jungle. Bainama yamshi rajul. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bainama yamshi rajulun fi mafazatin, walking in the jungle, and it's drought, it's famine, it's dry. And then suddenly he hears, Isqi hadiqata fulan. A sound calls out from a cloud, shower your water exclusively on a particular garden. So I'm like, did I hear right? So I said, let me follow this, I follow it. And I see a man sitting there in his garden and the water is coming exclusively to his garden. People are desperate for water, nothing available, and this man's got ample direct, it's coming, you know, in buckets. So I asked the brother, I said, my ismuk, my brother, your name? He said, this is my name, but why are you asking? He said, I swear by Allah, as I'm walking, I literally heard a call, the hadith of Muslim Sharif. I heard a call from the cloud saying that this water is exclusive for your garden. So he said, then what's the secret? I mean, there's drought and famine, we die for water here. And you every day we hear people have been laid off and people have been retrenched. And we hear what it's causing and the ripple effects. He said, I'll tell you one thing, my brother. Whenever I harvest my crops, at the saddaqu bi thuluth, one third goes to the poor. Because of that, I enjoyed perpetual rain. I never was affected with drought. Now, these are the options Islam has given us. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the Prophet ﷺ's dua, inseparable. غَدَا أَغْنَى السَّحَابَةِ غِنًا وَأَكْثَرَهُمْ ثَرَاءً. He now climbed the ladder and became the wealthiest man of Medina. Just to give you an example of his wealth, they say on one occasion, قَدِمَتْ عِيرُ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ عَوْفَ عَلَى الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَتْ مُؤَلَّفَةً مِّنْ سَبْعِ مِئَةِ رَاحِلَةِ. 700 camels laden with grain come into Medina. And what? تَحْمِلُ عَلَى ذُهُورِهَا الْمَتَاعَ وَالثِّيَابَ وَالْآنِيَ وَالدُّهْنَ. He had the monopoly. He was dealing in your household crockery, your one-stop shop, oil, food, grain, clothes, tib, fragrances. He had his hand in everything. 700 camels came in Medina laden with goods. A sight that left everybody captured, spellbound, mesmerized. People were riveted. Wow! فَمَا إِن دَخَلَتِ الْمَدِينَةِ. You know what this means, brothers. I guess you made enough money. فَمَا إِن دَخَلَتِ الْمَدِينَةِ حَتَّى رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ بِهَا رَجَّى وَسُمِعَ لَهَا دَوِيٌ وَضَجَّى. There was a shuffle, there was a news, it dominated the bulletin. You seen Abdurrahman? Hey, wow, man, Allah gave this guy. Hey, he's on, that's how he's on, man. So everybody's talking about this money of the young man. Aisha radiallahu anha said, ma hadhihi dhajja. Ma hadhihi dhajja. I hear quite a bit of shuffle, people are talking. So they said, no, عِيرٌ لِعَبْدُرْرَحْمَانِ ibn Auf, 700 naqa. 700 camels of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, laden with goods, has just arrived in Medina. Now look at what Aisha radiallahu anha said. She said, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فِي مَا أَعْطَاهُ وَلَثَوَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَعْظَمُ. Convey to him my glad tidings. Tell him we share in his joy today. We are happy on his financial prosperity. And equally whisper to him, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that in akhirat there's much more for him. My brother, that's the money you need to make. That when it comes, the society and the community in its entirety make dua for you. Allah give you more. Not curse you that you owe me money. When he heard this, the man comes running to him and conveys to him maqalata umm al-mu'minin Aisha radiyallahu anha. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, congratulations. Welcome. I salute you. Wow, what a wonderful, impressive sight. And I must tell you, she said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said repeatedly, يَدْخُلُ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ibn Auf in al-Jannah. That Abdurrahman ibn Auf will be together with me in Jannah. When he heard this, he comes running back to Aisha radiallahu anha. Now this is it. He made it, but it didn't capture, it didn't consume him. He says, يَا أُمَّا أَسَمِعْتِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Oh my mother, can I hear this directly? Have you heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that I will go to Jannah? He says, oh, Abdurrahman, hear it from me again. I heard him saying, he said, أُشْهِدُكِ يَا أُمَّةِ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْبَعِيرِ بِأَحْمَالِهَا وَأَقْتَابِهَا وَأَحْلَاسِهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Divert the 700, nothing comes home, all in the path of Allah. Divert it. Here we get in stress if somebody else's container is diverted. My brother, yours is coming, relax, that's somebody else's. The panic, the anxiety. Why? Because it has consumed me. Now look at what Allah gave him, and obviously I have to round up on this note here. They say he spent, just to highlight few things, تَصَدَّقَ بِأَرْبَعِينَ أَلْفْ dirham. After this particular incident, his contribution reached a level that is inconceivable. He gave 40,000 dirhams in a particular campaign. أَتْبَعَهَا بِأَرْبَعِينَ أَلْفْ dinar, which was followed by 40,000 dinars. حَمَلَ خَمْسَمِئَ مُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He provided 500 horses to warriors in the path of Allah. حَمَلَ أَلْفْ وَخَمْسَمِئَ. Then he donated 1,500 separate horses in another campaign. وَلَمَّا حَذَرَتْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنِ عَوْفَ الْوَفَاتُ. And in the throes of death, what did he do? أَعْتَقَ خَلْقًا كَثِيرًا مِّن مَّمَالِيكِهِ. He liberated his slaves. فَتْحُ الْعَلَّامِ, which is a sharah of Bulughul Maram. In Kitab al-Itq, it is written that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf liberated 30,000 slaves. 30,000 slaves. And then, what did he do? أَوْصَى لِكُلِّ رَجُلٍ بَقِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ بِأَرْبَعِ مِئَةِ دِينَارٍ. In the throes of death, he said, I want to acknowledge all those who stood with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Badr. Today there's a campaign of acknowledging policemen who die in the line of duty, which is wonderful. I don't have an issue with that. We acknowledge this one, we give him a token. But look at what Abdul Rahman's vision was with his own money. He said, all those that are living who participated in Badr, call them here. Before I die, from my side, I want to acknowledge them. Wallah, if we want to acknowledge anyone, we should acknowledge the senior ulama of our country. I think they have left a legacy for which we are indebted forever. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, call all the participants of Badr, wa kana mi'a. They were 100. And then he gave every one of them 400 dinar, just as a gesture that they stood with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early hours. Thumma awsa لِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَالٍ جَزِيلٍ. Then he said, how many spouses of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam alive? So they said, so many. He said, now take all this money and go give it to each one. And when that money came to Aisha radiallahu anha, at this time she cried. And she said, tell Abdul Rahman, it is my dua, سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ مَاءِ السَّلْسَبِيلِ. It is my dua that may Allah's Nabi put him on his lap and give him water from the springs of Jannah. Now that is wealth, my brother. That with that wealth, you empower and you take the du'as of pious people like this. And not to say he denied his wives anything. When he left behind, the legacy he left behind, Alfa Ba'irin for his family, 1,000 camels, Mi'ata Faras, 100 horses, Thalatha Alaf Shat, 3,000 sheep, وَلَقَدْ تَرَكَ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ مَا قُسِّمَ بَيْنَ وَرَثَتِهِ بِالْفُؤُوسِ حَتَّى تَأَثَّرَتْ أَيْدِ الرِّجَالِ. Chunks of gold and silver, breaking the gold, it actually, you know, left scars on the hands of those people. Such were the chunks of gold that was left behind. When he was taken to the grave, someone made a brilliant analogy in history. بَشَّرَهُ الصَّادِقُ الْأَمِينَ بِالْجَنَّةِ. He's walking with the flag and the glad tidings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's repeated confirmation of his entry into Jannah. حَمَلَ جَنَازَتَهُ خَالُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَعْدُ بْنُ أَبِي وَقَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, carries the body. صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ عُثْمَانُ بْنُ عَفَّانِ. The man who leads the salah is Uthman ibn Affan. شَيَّعَهُ عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبِ. The person who lowers sand on his grave is none other than Ali radiallahu anhu. And he said, O Abdul Rahman, we wrap your grave and we conclude your chapter by saying, لَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتَ صَفْوَهَا وَسَبَقْتَ زِيفَهَا يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. What a rich life you have led. What a great legacy you left behind. You enjoyed the prime of this ummah. You got saved from the challenges. May Allah bless you. I wish I can meet Allah with a record like yours. I hope and I pray that this incident would inspire me and you, and we follow the footsteps of Uthman of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Uthman radiallahu anhu. Indeed, these are our role models, and in emulating them, Allah will give us the barakah in both the worlds. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.